Hey, so welcome to the call today. As I mentioned in the intro, we have a special guest with us today, Daniel Levis. Are you there?
I'm here, man. How you doing, Justin?
I'm doing great. Obviously, you and I have been chatting kind of behind the scenes here before I hit record. I'm pretty excited to do this because this is a topic and you're an expert slash specialist slash who knows what other adjectives we can use to describe you on a topic that is, at least for me, right at the top of the list in terms of importance if you want to have a successful business, particularly if you're primarily doing it online, email marketing. What I wanted to do here on this call is make it pretty informal. It's part of our blog, so there's nothing crazy that we're doing, but I wanted to cover some questions that I thought were important and get everybody that's watching this slash listening to it to think more about email marketing, how they're doing it, whether you're brand new to business or even if you're experienced like me. There's a lot to be learned here. And I've been going through some of Daniel's teachings and really writing down a lot of aha moments, seeing a lot of gaps in what I'm doing with email marketing. So I thought we'd kind of start at a high level and then dive deeper into some of the topics that Daniel covers. Obviously, it's a fairly short call here today, so we're not going to be able to go through his entire wealth of knowledge, but I think it'll be a great introduction for you. So Daniel, if you don't mind, why don't we start off by just kind of getting your general take on email marketing and why it's important, again, whether people are just starting out or even if they're experienced in business. Why is it just so critical to have email marketing as one of your main strategies in business?
Sure. Well, you know, email's really, it's just another communications medium. But there are a couple of things that make it really, really special. With email, unlike Facebook or Twitter or any other social media network, it's not a closed system, okay? It's not a closed system where the rulers of that system can change the rules at any time. When you get somebody to opt into your email list, you are the publisher. You get to set your own rules, and you basically own that subscriber for as long as you provide value to that subscriber, and they stay subscribed on your list. And those subscribers, especially the ones that become buyers, are literally the most valuable business asset you can possibly own. According to a recent study by E-Commerce Quarterly, I think it was, of more than 500 million shopping experiences, somebody who agrees to receive emails from your business is four and a half times more likely to buy from you than somebody who follows you on social media. I think there was another study that showed that not only are people four and a half times as likely to buy from you through an email relationship versus a social media one, they're also about 14 times more likely to see your marketing message. And so an email subscriber is actually worth about 63 times more than a social media follower, according to these studies. And my anecdotal experience certainly confirms that. So your primary goal really should be to get any social media followers onto an email list. Or if you're doing search engine optimization or any other kind of marketing for that matter, to get people onto your email list. And I think if you do just that one thing, if you will just focus more of your attention on the building, the feeding, and the care of your email list, your business will improve by an order of magnitude. And it works in every business. Doesn't matter what it is. Products, services, consulting, coaching, doesn't matter what you do. Email is that important.
That's great. It makes a lot of sense too. I mean, not only in my own business, with the stats you just laid out, I mean, I've seen that. It's super obvious to me, and I haven't tracked that, so to speak, but I just know from experience, anytime we send out an email message, it's by far the best engagement we get, the best activity that happens in our business versus any other channel. Even as an example, I like to do a lot of video marketing. We put out a lot of training on YouTube and so on. But a lot of those people, if they happen to find us through a Google search and they land on one of our videos, they'll click over to our website and join our list. Just they've already kind of seen that intro to us and they want to get more. So for me, it works great. But I'm kind of thinking at a higher level here because I think a lot of people watching slash listening aren't quite at that level yet, where they have an established business and they have processes and products to sell or services to sell and so on. What about if you're pretty new to this? How soon should you start email marketing and incorporate it into your business? Because I'm just thinking, if it were me and I'm just getting started, you know, a couple months in, I don't know if I'd know what to say or what to send out in an email. So is there a point where it's too soon to begin email marketing?
Oh, the short answer, the one word answer is immediately. You should start immediately. Building an opt-in email list is really, it's job one. I mean, it's the very first thing you should do, because when you're bringing value to people, they have a chance to get to know you and like you and trust you, and they can actually inform you about their problems and the kinds of solutions that they want to buy. So you can build those solutions and you can sell them to a ready market. I mean, nothing is more fundamental to your success than knowing what people want and people who know, like, and trust you, and giving them a solution to a problem. So, I mean, even if you're struggling to build your business, this is probably why you're trying to sell too soon, before people have a chance to know, like, and trust you. And building an email list and nurturing that list is really the most cost-effective way to solve that problem, bar none. So definitely the number one answer there is start now, immediately.
Right. And so let's say somebody's doing that. They're pretty new. They've got a business. They're just trying to kind of get off the ground. What do you do? We don't need to get into the technologies today, but let's say they've got a form on their website. Maybe they're giving away something for free to incent people to join. What do they do? Is this something they should be sending an email at every day? And do they sit down and brainstorm, just little stories to tell about what they're an expert on? Or what would you suggest somebody do if they want to walk away from this video/audio right now and actually put some of this stuff into action? Okay, they've got a way to capture the lead, but now what?
Sure. So basically, I'll give you a few tips to get you started, because I know that it is somewhat intimidating.
Mm-hmm, very much.
I think the first tip I would give away is to get some experience with it, right? There's really nothing like sending an email out to your email list, even if it's just a couple of hundred subscribers, and seeing sales come in. I mean, that's kind of the really, really important thing. That's what'll give you the motivational juice to get serious about it and really start building an email list. The second thing, going directly to your question, is, you know, how do you do it? You need to find the perfect giveaway to get somebody on your email list in the first place. Some sort of a problem-solving report, or a piece of software, or a checklist, or a cheat sheet, or maybe a quiz, or self-evaluation that you can give away to people in exchange for their email address and permission to follow up. Because when I was listening to you describe it, I had this kind of vision of, you know, here's my website, and then over in the corner somewhere there's this little box where you can opt in for my newsletter. You know, people don't want another email newsletter. They want instant gratification. They want something that they can use immediately to move away from some sort of pain in their life and toward pleasure. And so the thing that you're giving away, and what you call the thing you're giving away, and the way you present the thing you're giving away are all crucially important to getting people to subscribe. So you want something very specific, not a newsletter. You want to give it a great title, like how to blank. And you want to make it in their face, so that when they come to your website, one of the best tactics for getting the email address is, you know, let them come to your website, let them get engaged with the content on your website for like 30 seconds, and then present like what we call a light box, which will go over top of the content. They can still see it in the background, but it invites them to download that freebie that gives them that instant gratification, and you get a lot of people signing up for that, and then they'll keep, you know, reading whatever was on your website. And the final thing, that getting to your question, is, you know, be prepared to invest some time or money the time or the money necessary to get interesting and entertaining emails written that, that go out to people once they get on your email list, because there's absolutely nothing else you can possibly do in your business that can give you a higher return on your investment, especially as your list begins to grow, especially as it gets into the thousands of subscribers. Each and every one of those subscribers can be worth, you know, at least $100 to you over time if you know how to engage them and entertain them. So that would be my short answer to that. And of course, if I had time, I could show you what to write and so forth, but a little bit out of scope of today's discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is higher level, but that's a great point too. We can come back to that either later on another call. And just to set some context here as well, Daniel, most of the people listening/watching are subscribers here, or at least blog visitors here at Tools for Motivation, where we actually provide all kinds of private label rights content in the personal development niche, right? So you might have a personal development author who writes about self-confidence or self-esteem, you might have a speaker or a seminar company that goes around teaching people concepts dealing with personal development or motivation or self-improvement and so on. There's absolutely no reason, even if you're just a new subscriber here at Tools for Motivation that's picked up our free content, to not have an opt-in and not have some kind of very interesting, attention-grabbing giveaway. Because all you have to do is browse around our site, and we've got at least a couple dozen pieces of content for you to download without spending a penny and create that free gift. You have to obviously add a little bit of your own flair and a spin to it, because we're providing white label content, so to speak. But having that up and running could be something. If you don't have it done now, you could have that done by the end of the day simply by using some of the free stuff we have here on our website. So if you can't find that or you don't have that yet, be sure to ask us at our contact link, because there's no reason for you to really avoid that step. It should be something that's just already in place. So if you haven't done that yet, I'd say walking away from this would be by far your number one next step to do, is create that valuable giveaway that Daniel is just kind of going through there. And not only that, you can use the same content, the same free PLR that we're giving you, to help you craft your emails as well. If you don't know what to say, yeah, Go through our PLR and look at some of the tips and articles and things that have been pre-written for you, and you can pull a lot of sentences and paragraphs out of there at your leisure, really, and find what resonates with you and share that with your audience. We've done a lot of this writing for you already. You just have to fit it into what you like to talk about in your business.
Yeah, exactly. And if I were to add to that, there's kind of a formula for creating a giveaway that not only gets the email address, but also advances your prospect toward another level of commitment, whether it's a phone consultation or interview or strategy session, or perhaps some sort of product that you have that you want to sell. So you could take that PLR, and that creates the bulk of your report. We call that the payload of the report. You know, 7 ways to do this, 3 strategies for this,
yep,
and so on. The really important thing is to get a little creative with the PLR and work really hard on getting a title. The title is one of the most important things. So it has to, you know, really be compelling. It has to solve a problem that you can solve. So what one of the things I recommend is testing several different titles. And the other thing to add to the payload is like a call to action at the end, and some sort of offer, that whether it be that consultation or whatever it might be, and to add that to the payload of the PLR. And that's really what you need to create a really efficient lead generation magnet.
Yeah, that's excellent. And it's very, again, very easy to do when you start with PLR, or even if you have already some of your own content. The other thing I just wanted to quickly mention, kind of to extend what Daniel was saying there, just from my own experience, is the sooner you get started with email marketing, the sooner you're kind of forcing yourself to engage with your audience and think creatively. You need to think of ways to express your personality while also showcasing your expertise and whatever it is you're good at, leading to hopefully selling what it is you sell. And that can also become an archive of information that you'd pull from and draw from in the future. I mean, I've written hundreds and hundreds of email broadcasts over the years, and I often go back through what I've written and I think to myself, wow, that was a pretty genius thing I said back in the day. I'm going to reuse that now in a new email, or in maybe it's a piece of content, could even be a video I'm creating. So not only is it serving the purpose of sending an email today, but it's forcing you to create content that you might pull from again in the future. I just wanted to add that because it's just something I do, and it's been really, really valuable to me and to having a sort of an asset base of content that we can pull from. But it also kind of made me think of my next question for you, Daniel, and that's the whole idea of frequency. Remember when I first started doing email marketing and really taking it seriously, I was really nervous to send too many emails in a given week, worrying that people would complain or yell at me or whatever. And I mean, there's a whole discussion there around the confidence to send emails. But in general, what's your take on email frequency? Because I know I certainly forget who I've subscribed to, and unless they're keeping in touch with me, I usually unsubscribe. So to me, I naturally think a higher frequency is better, but maybe there's some kind of sweet spot you've seen in your years of consulting people on this.
Sure. I mean, this is one of the most common questions I get, actually.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. There really is almost no limit to how frequently you email your list, provided you send emails that are worth reading, meaning that they're highly relevant, they're interesting, they're entertaining, they're inspiring, and they're persuasive. And the more emails you send, the more money you make. Right. End of story.
Yep.
And I know you're looking for a specific answer as to how often. And if I have to give you one, I would say that if you're not emailing your list daily, provided you're sending, you know, emails that are worth reading, of course, you're really leaving a lot of money on the table.
Right. I love it. Very straightforward answer. And it kind of addresses a bigger question here, which I see a lot of the time, and I used to kind of struggle with myself, that whole wondering if people are going to be mad or just worrying about the perception of other people. It doesn't matter. You're running a business, and it's hard numbers that you should be looking at. So if a daily email is what helps you grow your business, then you need to get over it and start doing it. And that's sort of what I faced a few years back. And I've seen exactly what Daniel's saying here, is the more frequently you send emails, the more successful your business is. And I almost find like our unsubscribe rate has gone down since we've increased our email frequency. And I've heard other people say that as well. I'm sure you have too, Daniel.
Yeah. And you really shouldn't be too worried when people unsubscribe. Another thing that I teach is you shouldn't obsess over metrics like open rate and click-through rate, which is the tendency in email marketing. Those are the hot topics. But in reality, you find that a lower open rate can make you a lot more money, and a lower click-through rate can make you a lot more money. So the thing you should really focus on is the dollars getting into your bank account.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. One of the things, I've gone through some of your training, and I remember one of the things that kind of jumped out at me, and I don't know if this is a hard and fast rule that you teach or if it was just a quick suggestion you had made on that one webinar I watched, but you said that that most, if not all, of the emails that you send out, and this is what you advise your customers and clients, should be selling, whether it's selling something specifically with a dollar value, or it could be just selling the next click. Can you talk a little bit about how each email should really be selling?
Well, there's the word selling is a bad word. I mean,
yeah,
it's
and I may have butchered the way you explained it, so I'll let you kind of fix that up for me.
Well, there's a lot of baggage around selling, right?
Yeah.
We have this image of the guy in a plaid jacket selling a used car, and certainly that's not what I'm referring to. When I talk about selling, I'm talking more about seduction or serving. So, yes, I firmly believe that most of the emails, literally, you know, 95% of the emails, should have something for the prospect to do. So they're not just reading the email and they've done reading the email. Oh, that was fantastic. How wonderful that was. What a great thing. And then off they go to do something else. No, we want to give them an outlet. So that, yes, they got value from the email, but now what? Now what can they do to take it to the next step. And so you don't want to send emails that are obviously a sales pitch. You want to entertain. You want to provide some inspiration. You want to encourage people, and then give them an outlet for that entertainment or that inspiration or that encouragement. And that's always to click to go and watch a webinar or download a special report or go and buy something or set up an interview with one of our consultants. If all you're sending is just information with an end result, you're going to make far less money, and you're going to help far less people. So that's what I mean by selling in virtually every email. And yeah, of course,
that makes a lot of sense, and that may already answer my next question here. I'm going to throw it out anyways, and if you want to expand on it, that's great. But just in your years of experience doing this and the people that you've worked with, are there certain things that have popped out to you when you're helping people improve their email marketing where you're actually telling them to stop doing stuff, things they were doing poorly or just things that were almost working against them that you had to correct? Are there any kind of major problems that you see reoccurring here that you kind of discourage people from continuing?
Yeah, I think it's really having this idea of this concept of selling. So what you end up is with you have people that are on either one end of the continuum or the other. Either they're just sending emails that are blatantly pitchy and obvious.
Right.
Go and buy this thing. It's great. Special offer, today only, that kind of thing. And they're sending like all that kind of stuff. And that just burns out the list. People just tune out and they don't engage anymore. And then you have the other side of the continuum where people are so fearful or they're so put off by that they don't have any real offer. They're just, here's three tips for this and here's five strategies for that. And then there's no call to action to go anywhere. So it's like a kind of like a content soup kitchen. And that's, both of those are grave errors. So what I teach is to bring it back into the middle, always be providing value. I call it secondary reward is the word I use in my training classes. And secondary reward is not about your secrets. It's not about how to do this or how to do that. It's about why you should be doing it. And it's about giving your reader a little bit of a smile and a feeling that they learned something or they're an insight or something other than the stuff that you want them to buy, in other words. And it's not a blatant, obvious sales pitch. And that's how you keep people engaged and buying, really. And to give you an example of, how does this work and what's the impact business-wise, I've been doing this for, 14 years or something like that. I've built many successful email campaigns, not just for myself, but for many clients. And we got hundreds and hundreds of members in our Email Alchemy Elite Coaching Program who are experiencing some phenomenal business success. And one gentleman, he came to me with a list of around 9,000 subscribers. And I have this whole process that I do when I work with a client, and I interviewed him and I found out all about his product, all about his backstory and the people that he was trying to sell to. It was a software product, actually. And I put together a sequence of emails, 26 emails, I believe it was, and a mailing schedule for him so that he could send those emails out. It was a 16-day period where the new software release would be available, and he had some, special pricing and bonuses that he wanted to make available to, to get the thing going. And by day 16, he had generated more than $400,000.
On a 9,000 person list.
On a 9,000 person list, which was just an astounding surprise to him.
I bet.
And it's not typical, as you
know. Definitely not. But I'd have to do the math. That's an incredible value per subscriber.
It is. But it's really quite routine to see people who follow my system earning $3 to $6 per month per subscriber.
That's amazing.
So it's as few as 1,500 subscribers should earn you a six-figure income.
Wow. That really breaks the number down. I think a lot of people, even brand new to business, can wrap their head around building a 1,500-person list. Now, when you hear of people with, you know, 30,000-person lists, it makes you feel like you're, you know, unable to keep up with the you know, the bigwigs, right? It's like you're just out of competition. But this makes it's believable. It's a number. It's like, you know what? I could get to 1,500 in a year, or maybe less, with the right strategies.
Yeah, and 15,000 subscribers is a seven-figure income.
Right, right.
150,000 is an eight-figure income. You can pretty much take those numbers to the bank if you know what you're doing. So that's pretty impressive.
That's very cool. A question popped into my head as we were talking earlier. I just wanted to come back to it. It kind of addresses something you mentioned earlier. You were talking about the importance of really having email marketing in your business as almost like the first thing you do, because it lets you get your finger on the pulse of what your audience is thinking and wondering and questions they have and so on. So do you actually encourage business owners to have their subscribers reply to emails and look at each one? Or does it depend on the business? Do you have them encourage subscribers to go to a survey? Or does it really just depend on the taste and obviously the capacity of that business owner to reply to the volume?
Yeah, I highly recommend that. In fact, I call that a liaison email. Okay. There are two types of emails that relate to what you described. A liaison email is designed to get the subscriber to reply to you and create sort of a living back and forth manual email dialogue. Then we have what's called a reconnaissance email, which is leading to a survey more than likely.
Got it.
And it just depends on how much time you have and how deep you want to go and what your outcome, what your goal is, right? If you're doing a survey, you're just trying to find out, generally speaking, you know, what do people want? What problems are they having? Who are they? That kind of thing, so that you can write broadcast emails that will resonate with those folks. Where you're actually dialoguing back and forth, yes, you're doing that, but you're also have an opportunity to even address some of the reasons that person is hesitating, in
yeah.
addition to finding out generally what's causing people to not do what you're asking to do. And you know, the really cool thing about the technology of email is that, you know, you can get started right away and you can earn money from your efforts well into the future. You know, each and every one of those emails that I wrote for the gentleman that I told you about with the software thing brought in over $8,000 into his business. And that wasn't even, you know, really a large list, 9,000 subscribers. Now, that's not going to happen right away, obviously, right? You're just starting out. But, you know, right from day one, you can be writing emails that will make you thousands and thousands of dollars over time, because these emails can be programmed to go out automatically to everybody who opts into your list for years to come. I have emails, believe it or not, Justin, that I wrote more than 10 years ago that are still making me money to this day, because when somebody new opts into my email list, those new subscribers automatically get those emails X days after they subscribe. They get an email on day one, day two, day three, day four, and so on. And these are emails that I wrote more than 10 years ago.
That's amazing that they still apply. And I'm sure you've probably done some tweaking and editing over time, but 10 years and still going strong, that's amazing. And I think that gives a lot of people motivation to get it done now, because it's a huge asset that they can just sit on and bank on and kind of grow from there.
Yeah, there was hardly anybody on my list at the time. Now, I happen to deal not everything about what I do is so timeless, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into doing this that is quite timeless. But even if your timeless time frame is 18 months,
still
you're starting today and you're still going to be earning from those efforts 18 months from now. and then you can go in and you can update whatever it is your topic happens to be. It's a beautiful thing. It truly is.
It is. It's amazing. It really, to me, I hear this, and I kind of wish I'd had this discussion, you know, 7-8 years ago. I probably would have reprioritized a lot of the stuff I did. I think a lot of new business owners, or even intermediate, you know, people with a few years experience, can probably relate to spending lots of time and energy on the wrong thing until they finally got it. So this is the one call and one piece of advice that I'm going to keep sending people to over and over again, because there's really very few things I'd put ahead, obviously, than email marketing. Obviously, you need a product/service to sell. But beyond that, this is what you should be doing. And just to kind of quickly add some of my own dialogue to that previous question, the whole idea of asking for a reply and getting a one-on-one email conversation going with your subscribers. My personal opinion on that is you should do it as long as you have the ability to respond to them all. And obviously some people with giant lists may not be, you may get hundreds and hundreds of replies when you ask for that. You may not have the bandwidth to do it. But until you're at that level, for me, it's been one of the most valuable actions I've ever done in my business, is asking people to reply and talk to me directly. And a couple of things have happened for me. One is I've been able to create what feels like a very personal relationship with literally hundreds, and probably at this point now thousands, of people on my list. I've had an email conversation one-to-one. They knew they were speaking to me, not a broadcast. It takes time, but you're investing in the relationship. If you do that long enough, these are people that are always going to stay on your list and open your emails because they know you now. But the second thing is you actually get to hear their questions, just like Daniel said, and maybe hear, more importantly, their objections to whatever you're offering. I have literally changed offers and, you know, sales copy, and even the way we've offered our products based on the questions people are asking. I had no idea that what I was offering in certain pieces were confusing people. But after a few email conversations, saw some patterns. I'm like, man, this needs to be changed. Nobody's understanding what I'm offering here. It only took me a few email conversations to get to the bottom of that and fix it. And sure enough, conversions went up. So rather than just guessing and doing random split testing, you're talking to the people that are actually interested in potentially buying, hearing why they're not, and allowing yourself to react and respond to what they're saying and literally make more money, even if it's just a handful of sales. So to me, I always err on the side of talk to the people on your list as much as you can, as long as you have the bandwidth to do it.
Yeah, and it is far, far cheaper, maybe not as intimate as a phone call, but it is imminently cheaper to do it via email than it is to talk to people. There's the difference in cost between a telephone call and an email conversation is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're new and learning, then an email conversation is probably even more valuable, because if somebody's coming to me and they see me as an expert in what I do, they may not remember what I told them on that phone call, but they can certainly note down or save the email where I offered, you know, 3 or 4 tips of my advice that was valuable to them and helped them at the time. So for me, it's almost like a living dialogue of our conversation. I almost prefer email when I'm talking to people now.
Yeah, and you can put those kinds of messages in the sequential part of your autoresponder. So when somebody becomes a subscriber, you can encourage them to interact early on, so you build that relationship, and that email can sit there and it'll go out to people for years to come, right? Anybody who comes into your list, so you may not be overwhelmed by it. It's not like you're sending a broadcast out to 10,000 people. You're going to get a drip of those conversations. You could probably keep that up, you know, and your list could be very large and you're still keeping it up, and it's extremely rewarding.
Absolutely. And I do that exactly, Daniel, with our autoresponder sequence when people first join our list, and it just works amazing. And like you said, I don't get a huge volume of these. I may get a few a week right now. And even if that goes up to a dozen a week, I can handle that kind of volume if the reward is the people joining my list feel like they know me. I mean, you can't really put a price tag on that.
No, it's almost as rewarding as sending a broadcast message to thousands of subscribers and instantly seeing thousands of dollars in sales piling up in your merchant account or in your affiliate ledger. Yeah, you don't even need your own product or service to do this.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is great. I don't want to take too much more of your time. You obviously, we could probably talk all day about this stuff. I did want to ask you, and I'm not sure how much you'll want to share here or be able to share, but if you have any parting tips, you know, a couple tips that people can kind of walk away from this conversation, and if they wanted to actually take some action, let's say before end of day. I love those kind of tips, because then it's immediately actionable. If you were to tell somebody they're just getting started or wanting to improve their email game, what could they do today or in the next 24 hours to kind of make some progress there?
All right. I'll try to give you something kind of at a basic, very basic level, because in my experience, far too many people have just kind of not either understood the importance of email marketing, or they perhaps haven't taken action. So I'm going to keep it at a very basic level.
Okay.
Go into Justin's vault and find some PLR if necessary to create that giveaway, that lead generation magnet. Like I said, you know, work on the title and put a call to action that's going to support and advance your business. So that's number one. Number two, you probably have a website already. Go to this site called, www.popupdomination.com, and get yourself a light box that will pop up and offer your freebie that you just put together. And this is like a day's work, really.
Yeah,
it really is. And you're going to start getting, that list is going to start to grow. And that's the first step, something you can do today.
That's excellent. And then obviously just go back and listen to this call again. Think about some of the things you can do to nurture those subscribers over time. And of course, we'll have some information on the page you're looking at now if you want to take this further and look at some of the stuff that Daniel and his team offers. So thanks for listening to our conversation today. This is Justin back in the studio now doing a little closeout for you. Hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to hit the contact link on our blog here or at the top of our website if you have any questions. I'm in direct communication with Daniel on Skype and on Facebook. So if you do have questions for him, I can send those over. He's really open to helping. And that's what I like so much about him, is he's an open book, and he will be available if you do have questions. We just appreciate you taking time here and hope you got some value from it. So thanks again for watching, and we'll be in touch soon.